Welcome, everybody, to the 10th episode of the Wonder in Awe podcast. I'm Louis Schwartzberg. I'm going to be your host, and I love to make films that celebrate life and take viewers on journeys through time and scale, making the invisible visible and helping to share nature's intelligence with the world, like fantastic fungi. My work has always been about combining the how of science and the why of art. And this podcast is really going to fill that sweet spot. Because what I've learned over many years of personal experience in filmmaking is that immersion in nature increases our capacity for courage, creativity, kindness, and compassion, the components that we need in order to create a world for life to flourish. That's why I'm really proud that today's podcast is supported by the Fetzer Institute. They're helping to build a spiritual foundation for a loving world. Fetzer's new study, What Does Spirituality Mean to Us?, reveals how spirituality informs our understanding of ourselves and each other and inspires us to take action for the common good. You can explore these findings and more at spiritualitystudy.org. I'd like to invite you to share your own questions for our guests throughout the live broadcast. Please submit your question in the comments section of this live stream broadcast and let us know where you're coming from. Our team will be reading them and we'll try to get to as many as we can. Today's podcast is going to focus on music, and like nature, music gives us a connection to something bigger than us and touches the deepest part of our soul. My guest today has created beautiful music for the world through her unique and inspiring compositions for films and albums, including the Moving Arts Season 3 album on Spotify. Lisbeth Scott is a singer and composer whose work has been seen on films including Avatar, Iron Man 2, Concussion, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Spider-Man, HBO's True Blood, and many, many more. She's also collaborated with John Williams, Danny Elfman, John Debney, Hans Zimmer, and James Horner, just to name a few. So welcome, Elizabeth.
Hello.
It's such a joy to be here with you. I love listening to your music and collaborating with you over the years. One of my favorite albums of all time is Biomusic. I listen to it every time I travel. Oh, it's so inspiring to creatively, you know, collaborate with you on the many projects we've done together. You know, I loved working with Lisbeth on my feature film, Wings of Life, for Disney Nature. And she composed the music for the Oceans and the Machu Picchu episodes on our Netflix series called Moving Art. So, Lisbeth, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Louis. I'm so happy to be here.
I know that music has been your guide, your teacher, your healer, and your connection to the world. How did you discover that music was your creative voice?
I grew up in a really interesting situation where I was surrounded by and experiencing a lot of anxiety and fear all the time. And I didn't really know how to deal with it until I was about six and my mother won a piano on the radio. There was a contest and she was the third caller, believe it or not. So as soon as that piano entered our home, it was my sanctuary. And I just started playing on my own. And then a piano teacher would come to the house once a week for many years. And I just always, it's like I sat down and I knew how to play. It was my voice. And it allowed me to express myself and explore my emotions in a way that nothing else in my life did. And that set me on the trajectory for the rest of my life.
Where do you think your passion comes from that has now given you the energy past your childhood experience to be able to continue to perform and record?
Some people listen to the radio or see visuals like you. And for me, I hear music constantly in my head, and I always have. And I thought this was something that just was human, but I didn't find out until many years later that this was actually my gift. And I think we each have something uniquely special and important for the world. And this was mine. So I'm very inspired by visuals, obviously, yours in particular. But I'm also inspired by anything I might look at, something I might hear, a snippet of conversation, hugely inspired by nature. And when I see these things and experience these things, I hear it through music. And there's just constantly music playing in my head. So I've gone for 3 years once with a broken radio in my car and never bothered to fix it because I didn't need it.
Well, what you do with our moving art series is so incredible because, you know, we have these images of nature. If people haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. So you can check it out. But, you know, we string these images together, whether it's about oceans or flowers. And the music is such an important element of tying it all together because it has a constant through line that pulls you on, it takes you on the journey.
Right.
It's kind of like a locomotive pulling a train down the track. It's right. Beautiful that it has a linear progression to it. And when we've jammed together, Elizabeth, I so appreciate the fact that you create this continuity for the imagery. And I know the imagery probably triggers, you know, these vision, the music in your head. Can we talk about that process a little bit?
Sure. One of the beautiful things about writing music for visuals, specifically for yours, is to find and create themes that can come in and out of a growing orchestral or instrumental sound, and try and find a way to take people on a journey musically that matches the journey that you're taking them on visually. And I absolutely love that challenge. If I find it so inspiring. And it may be that, for instance, Machu Picchu, we start with a very, very simple theme that comes in on guitar that then later reappears with a full 60-piece vocal track and orchestra, later with Pedro Eustache's Beautiful World Winds. So it's like putting a puzzle together, actually, musically. And it's just, it's a beautiful journey that I find happens very organically.
Yeah.
It's oftentimes I'm not sitting there thinking, okay, now this theme has to go here and then this needs to happen. It just, I watch and it happens. And when I revisit, I see, oh, look at this structure. Yeah, it's not always that way, but I love when that happens.
The same thing, you know, works for me too, Elizabeth, is that, you know, I've learned to listen to your inner voice.
Yes.
I'm not directing anything. You know, yes. I hear in my head, this shot follows this shot, and then, let's go to that shot, and then let's do this, and then let's do a dissolve or whatever. And I'm just, you know, trying to listen. I have to kind of kickstart it in the beginning, kind of rough it into shape. But then after that, I learned to let go.
Yes.
I learned that a long time ago, that the creative process is really about letting go.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And I experience that too when I'm scoring films. I decide on a sound palette. I decide, you know, some thematic ideas come up. And then, as you said, I just let go. And once you have the tools, you can just move with it. Yeah.
So I want to give our viewers a chance to connect with some of these great moments in your work. And you mentioned Machu Picchu, so I think we will probably want to show a clip of that. And I want to make a note that, you know, you play such a wide variety of world music and instruments, and you bring that. And in Machu Picchu, obviously, you know, it's Peru. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful to bring that flavor into the score and to feel the richness of these world influences. Mm-hmm. So let's play the last view from your album and the Moving Art Netflix episode called Machu Picchu. Wow. That's so beautiful. It's
Same, right back at you.
oh, let me share something with the viewers. That is more sacred than being there. I'll tell you why, because when I was shooting it, there are tons of tourists that are like
So
getting in front of my camera. I actually spent about $20,000 getting rid of people that walked in front of my camera and all my time-lapse shots to
wow.
create this pristine view of this beautiful, empty, gorgeous, sacred place called Machu Picchu. And in terms of the sound, lots of Asian tourists being loud, talking on their WhatsApp mobile phone in front of your face. So the reality isn't quite as good as what we just experienced. So, it's
Well,
a
I
way to
think, yeah.
soak up this spiritual, sacred energy in a way that I think is even better than the real thing. Plus, you don't have to travel 2.5 days to get there. And
Well,
with COVID, you can't travel, so why not go halfway around the world to Machu Picchu?
I think that's one of the beautiful things that we can do is give people an entirely unique experience. That even if you go to Machu Picchu, or even if you sit in my room while I'm composing, you will not have the same experience as what we just saw.
What
So.
I really love too, especially in the Machu Picchu piece, is that all those diverse musical instruments and world influences. I was curious, where does that inspiration of these global styles come from for you?
That's such a good question. I grew up with an Armenian family. I am Armenian. And my grandfather sang and my grandmother sang and played lots of different instruments and duduk and oud. So I was exposed to that as a child. And I think it really became immersed in my cells because as I grew, I just was fascinated with world music and I studied African and Cuban percussion and toured with a Afro-Cuban group as a percussionist for a
Wow.
while. I've studied harps and woodwinds and of course all different vocal techniques I'm fascinated by. Lots of different guitars, Bolivian and the charango, which I played here, classical steel, lap, dulcimer. I love the harmonium, which is also in this piece we just heard, which is primarily from India and Tibet. I'm just fascinated with the idea that we are a global community and that we can take all the sounds that are part of our culture, our own unique culture, and combine them and use them to express our own unique emotional voice. So that's a long-winded answer to your question,
Well, no,
Louis,
it's
but
beautiful. Look at it. Speaking of when you said voice, you left out the most amazing instrument of all that you do have is your voice. I mean, I
Thank
think
you.
you're famous for that and have contributed in many, many future films.
Yeah.
How did you discover that you have a elegant, enchanting, beautiful voice?
That's really interesting. I never knew I could sing. I got actually kidded about it when I was a child, so I was very, very shy, and I used to hide in my closet and set up headphones so I could sing harmonies with the music I was listening to, but so no one would hear me. Because I was in my closet. So I was playing piano actually for a dance class, and someone, I used to hum along to the melodies I would make up, and someone heard me singing, and that person just happened to have started an internship with Hans Zimmer.
Wow.
I know it's such divine intervention. And so he came over to me and said, "Would you be interested in singing for Hans? He's working on a film that needs a voice just like yours." And I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even know who Hans was. Talk about irony. So the next day I started my singing career, and I started to really experiment with my voice and just fall in love with what I could do if I moved the air up into my nose, or if I kept it way down in my chest, or if I moved really close to the mic and used a whisper tone, or if I stepped farther away and just screamed. You know, I just started this experimentation that I found was the deepest, deepest way of communicating emotions for me. And it was just a beautiful and very accidental discovery.
Well, I'm glad you did, because it's a giant gift to the world.
Thank you.
And I know it's helped a lot of people feel inspired and even healed. I know that you're also, like me, inspired by nature.
Yes.
You know, I certainly believe that nature is intelligent and a healing modality. Can you talk about your connection to the natural world and how that inspires the music that you compose?
Yes. One of the things I used to love to do as a child was crawl out my bedroom window, don't try this at home, and climb down the garage and run down to the end of the street across a very busy intersection and into the woods. And there I would find the river, the Charles River, which I grew up near. And I was fascinated. I would sit there for hours and listen to the sounds of the rushing and when it would slow down or speed up. And I would watch sticks and leaves fall into it. It was like I was prepping to work with you, Louie.
Well, I was prepping too. In Brooklyn, I would race my popsicle sticks down the gutter.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I'm fascinated. I still do that. Like, I water in the backyard. And, you know, you have like runoff little streams on the pavement or whatever. And I watch little sticks, you know, little pieces of debris floating. And I'm always curious, like, is it going to go right? Is it going to go left?
I'm
enchanted by watching how water flows in the built environment.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing. So let's have the ability and listen to some beautiful music Elizabeth did for our Oceans episode as we take a journey along the shores of Big Sur. Wow, it's so beautiful. Your voice with that soaring eagle. If nothing else will lift your spirit, that certainly does. Yeah, I want our audience to know that Elizabeth is in her recording studio, and I've asked if she would actually perform live for us today, which she's going to do.
I'd be happy to.
She's going to play Adrift, and you know, her voice has been her guide, her healer, her expressive center. It's her love. It's her connection to the world. And I really love that when we talked about it earlier, you know, you shared how much, like when you're at the piano, it truly does inspire you. And that when you're playing something healing, I think you know it because you get goosebumps.
Yes, and that's my barometer.
That's your barometer for creating a healing modality. So.
Yes.
Here is a gift, some live music that is coming from the deepest part of Elizabeth's soul.
This is a piece called Adrift, and it is actually on the Moving Arts Best of Season 3 soundtrack, which you'll find on Spotify. And this is sort of my own improvisation and piano arrangement of the many layers that you previously heard on the score.
Oh, wow. That's so great.
Thank
I'm healed.
You.
I'm healed. I know you studied healing.
Yes.
And I know that just like, you know, connecting with nature can have a real positive effect on your mental health.
Absolutely.
And well-being. Mm-hmm. I mean, music has a positive effect on, you know, such a broad range of physical and psychological conditions like mm-hmm. dementia, anxiety, depression, even cancer.
Yeah,
and I think coming out of the pandemic, there's going to be a giant mental health crisis, mm-hmm. which already existed, but has certainly been made worse by us being deprived of a basic need of connection.
Yes.
I was curious, what are there notes or chords that are, you know, healing?
Yes. Yeah, I've always been fascinated with healing, and I always put out an intention when I create music and when I sing that it uplift people, that it open people's hearts, that it relieves pain, anxiety, fear, in whatever capacity that's needed. And so when I write, I'm drawn to certain chords, notes, the concept of tension and release, like those three notes from the piece I just played, then come down here. So I find life is a beautiful expression of tension and release, whatever we're doing. And if I can find that release for people, I will always, always be drawn to that. Just opening chords like this, or just the expanse that's possible. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about the piano. because you can. I mean, that's like breathing to me, that sound. And I do the same thing with my voice. A very simple, soft tone, or a louder. And it's always, always coming from my heart and always coming from my soul. And I get a certain feeling in my stomach and in my, I don't know how else to say it, in my chest, that when it's working. And I'm sure you know what I mean, Louis. You know when something's working.
Yeah.
And for me, working means creating something that is going to move people. So that's just a little window into my process.
Well, that's why we call it moving art.
That's it, right.
It has to move you in order for it to be effective. You know, you told me that the other day that that Florence Nightingale used to use music to heal soldiers like a century ago, right?
She started in the 1800s using music, and in the World Wars, they also used music in surgery, for pain relief, for anxiety, which I found fascinating. And of course, the whole business of music therapy is based on what music can do to relieve anxiety and pain. So I think that it's a very, very important part of our lives, and especially now during the pandemic, where we need it.
For sure. Well, I think that the music is like a wavelength of energy, right? That somehow modulates the neurons in our brain. And I feel the same thing is true with my imagery.
It is.
You know, the imagery is, you know, hits the retina, becomes electrical impulse to the brain. And the brain creates context between the music and the visuals that also generates meaning.
Yes.
And I think for each individual, there's a different meaning, you know, which is what I think art tries to inspire people to lean into, to contribute to the experience and to add to it.
You're creating a world that they step into. I'm sure everyone's had the experience of watching a TV show late at night and then dreaming about the characters when you're asleep. You know, it's like we enter into the worlds that we hear and see. And so the thing I love about what you and I do, Louis, is that we can create these beautiful worlds for people to enter into and experience whenever they want.
Yeah, I know, especially now. And I think that you know, one of the little aha moments I've had recently is that, you know, my imagery is, you know, I want people to be inspired to go outdoors and to experience nature. However, you know, right now it's difficult to go to, you know, exotic locations because of the fact you can't travel. And when you do go to these exotic locations, a lot of them are being overrun by tourism and commercial interests in these countries that are far, far away. So, you know, the fact that it's quote unquote digital, I feel is as good as the real thing. Just like I wouldn't criticize or judge your music that it is digital, right? I mean, I'd rather be able to hear your music and not be deprived from listening to it live. That's a different experience. But if I limited myself only to listening to live music, I never would have heard the Beatles, you know, or other great artists that I never had a chance to go to a concert to, right?
It is such an interesting subject you bring up, because there is a huge difference between experiencing something live, a concert or standing in the middle of a field, and seeing it digitally or hearing it digitally. But in this time when the world is so crowded and we are not even able to connect to nature or each other, this is such a beautiful option to have always. Because as we said earlier, we're creating something new a very unique experience and a new place that we can go whenever we want.
So in the moment, Elizabeth, do you feel, can you play something else?
Yeah, sure.
I would love that because I love the fact that it's live.
Yes.
And we've never heard it before.
Certainly not this version. I love sort of improvising on pieces that I've written, as I just did. This is a song that was used in the series Tumbleleaf, which I wrote for 4 years and absolutely loved. And I wrote it for a sleeping sequence, and I cannot tell you how many emails, letters I've gotten from parents who have said, "Oh my gosh, I just play that section over and over and my children go to sleep." So it's that whole idea of comfort, which is where this song came from. All the stars in the sky say goodnight, and the moon whispers sweetly, "Sleep tight. Close your eyes and drift off to sleep, my little one." Well, close your eyes, 'cause you're in the arms soft in your ear, and the wind wipe away all your tears. So close your eyes and drift off to sleep, my little one. Close your eyes, 'cause you're in the arms. Yourself shine like a moonbeam. We'll love in the light and know everything is gonna be alright. Close your eyes and drift off to sleep. Or in the arms of love.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, so beautiful. I wish you could hear the applause from the audiences up there. It's so, so beautiful. You know, people have shared stories with us about how many of our films, you know, brings them calm and healing, and how our work has been used also in healthcare to demonstrate improved outcomes. But we also get incredible notes from our viewers on the ways that the imagery is impacting your lives. And these are just comments on Netflix where you can't leave a comment, but you have to find me on the internet somehow and be able to leave a comment, which is, that takes a lot of work. I don't think I would do that. There'd be too many clicks to figure out how to find somebody by surfing the web. Sean, can we put up some of those comments, or I could just read them? So great. My body was healed of chronic inflammation by using the series as a meditation day after day. This is healing work. Just yesterday, I was at the very depth of illness and must fight daily depression. But by the time the movie had ended, I was thanking God that I was still alive.
That's so special.
Here's another one. Moving art is saving my life, literally. I'm grateful beyond measure for the gift that has allowed me to finally get some sleep. I'm an Iraq combat veteran. I just want to let you know that your work on moving art has really helped improve my conditions tremendously. Thank you for helping me in this healing process. Here's another one. I had a severe injury and have beaten the odds of recovery due in large part to watching moving art on almost a daily basis for over 2 years, and I've shared it with my friends. I love this one. I have a son who is 17. He's autistic. He loves, and I mean literally loves, the moving art series. For his 17th birthday, he wanted a moving art party where we all sat and watched the film with him. So
that's great.
I'm sure you got beautiful quotes too, Elizabeth. Are there any that you'd like to share?
Sure. I've gotten so many. Here's one. Thank you for producing incredible music. I needed a healing sound in these times. You are giving me that. Please know you are helping people and moving some of us to tears of joy and happiness. Another, your music is just incredible. So happy to have discovered you. Such wonderful healing sounds. I heard your voice and was moved to tears. I get a lot of this. Thank you for blessing the universe with your spectacular voice.
Oh.
It's so amazing when we get these because I'm always shocked and stunned at the depth of the experience people have from our work. And it certainly is our intention, and it's so good to know that it's happening. And I got a wonderful one the other day, Louis, that I forgot to tell you. Someone from Ireland sent me an email saying that he and his wife had decided to name their newborn baby girl after me because they had heard my work in Narnia and were so moved by it. And I just, I mean, that one made me cry. But it's such a wonderful.
Well, it's beautiful because, you know, I know for myself, and I think for you as well, I don't have like an intention that that it's a healing modality. We just want to create beautiful.
Yes.
You know, art.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that people claim that it's a healing modality. I mean, the reality is, here's a series on Netflix. It's probably in a category maybe called documentary nature, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and hundreds of comments come in that mm-hmm. people have been healed. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that it just emanates, you know, from the audience, right. and all of these stories. I get about one every other day, you
yes.
know, literally, and it melts your heart.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I think there is a much more in-depth scientific exploration that we could go through about tuning, like 440. I noticed someone's asking about 440 versus 432 about different hertz in music, like 580 is something that people talk a lot about as being a healing place to sit musically, sonically. And I have found that so much of this is unique and individual for people. Images that may move one person may not resonate with another.
Right.
And so I noticed we have an audience question about mm-hmm. the tuning. And I heard this story a long time ago. Rachmaninoff, whenever he would have someone tune his piano, would always have someone tune, I think it was the middle register, like one cent above the lower and the higher registers, because that felt right to him when he played. And my experience is, as long as we're all in tune, as long as there's harmony, then I feel that the healing elements can happen and can come through. I don't know how else to explain it without going into a lot of a lot more detail, but I think that it's just all about harmony and resonance.
Yeah,
truly.
When I was filming Wings of Life, you know, for Disney Nature, which is on Apple. No, I'm sorry, it's on Disney Plus now. Meryl Streep tells the story from the point of view of a flower.
Yes, I love that.
Making love to bees, bats, hummingbirds, and butterflies.
Yes.
And so we're shooting something called buzz pollination, which is when a bumblebee lands on a tomato flower, it grabs that flower and it vibrates its wings at the same frequency as the C note.
Yes, I know that. Yes. You know,
and to prove that, which is just mind blowing, is that we got a tuning fork. And you know, you hit it, and you touch the flower, and the pollen comes out. So the flower has a very specific,
so amazing
messenger suitor that it wants to use to transfer its pollen from one flower to another. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't get that vibration, it won't release its pollen. Which I thought is just like mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing and phenomenal that the world is all about vibrations and we're constantly communicating that with each other. And I mean, even scoring, you know, you see a sad scene, you want a minor key. You see tension, you want close clusters of notes. You want expansion when you see a beautiful nature scene. And this is the world we're in. This is every day we are constantly communicating this way. And I love it. It's like a symphony.
I think you're right. I mean, like the vibrations, and there's science that proves it now. This thing about, you know, heart rate variability and coherence. You know, you walk into a room, sometimes you can be at a party and there's like a bunch of strangers, but you walk to the person that you think you're going to connect to. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do with the, you know, rhythm of your heart rate. And their rhythm of their heart rate.
Yes.
You know, and it's instantaneous. It's in the microsecond that you kind of glance around. So your heart is speaking to the brain, motivating, you know, you in your actions, which I think is just remarkable. Yeah. Again, wonder and awe, the series is like, you know, that intersection between art and science. I love the fact that the science kind of proves what we instinctually know, like love is a good thing. Yeah. You know, they find out that, you know, less prostate cancer and breast cancer and, you know, all the stress when people are in love, you know, and but that's been, you know, used in poetry and music for thousands and thousands of years.
Yes.
And now we have evidence that there are chemicals that are released. We can figure that out, you know, the endorphins, the serotonin. And, you know, it's great that there's like efficacy to it, but it's also nice to just, you know, trust your gut.
Yes. I think the most trustworthy healing modality is your gut, your inner voice.
I know. And here again, science has figured out that you got brain cells in your gut.
Yes.
You know, that, and along with the fungi, they're having a great party, you know?
Yeah.
And they're sending this information up to your brain. And so that saying, you know, gut instinct is so true that certain decisions are definitely made from down here. And decisions about, you know, that come from the heart, that deal with compassion, et cetera, definitely come from the heart. So it's a beautiful thing to realize that your whole body is one giant unified organism, right? Mind, body, soul. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think your music touches. There's a question here from Catherine about the Machu Picchu sequence. Mm. Like, she says, did you get it filmed totally empty and it's only packed with tourists? And yes, no, the experience couldn't be the same since we're not birds. Yes, that's true. And as I said earlier, we struggled, you know, we paid to get special permits to try to get in early, but even so, it did not eliminate all of the people that you walk in front of your camera. And so digitally, in some of the time-lapse shots, we frame by frame removed the people. It was expensive, it was painstaking, but I want people to see it without it looking like an ant farm.
Yeah.
And that sacred spirit needs to be nurtured and it needs to be saved. And a lot of sacred places, it's sad, on earth are disappearing. either due to climate change or to commercialization. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we have to, like, you know, save it digitally, at least it's one step in the right direction on that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask, you know, with the pandemic now, I was wondering how music, you know, is such an important model for healing because of what's going on, and mm-hmm. and the suffering, which, you know, can manifest into stress, frustration, sickness, anger, complacency. Have you experienced anyone in your life who has found a way to healing through music in a personal way?
So many people. I have a dear friend whose close friend was experiencing cancer and was in a hospital in Nevada. And she is a huge fan of mine. And so she brought my music to the hospital room. Wow. Where this woman was receiving treatment and largely on morphine just at this point in time because she was in so much pain and the doctors were saying she would pass away by the morning. So she brought my music and played it literally in a loop all night. She brought Fair Sky, which you had mentioned earlier, and she brought another album of mine called Rough and Steep. And in the morning, her friend was awake, eating, talking, and lived for another 2 months.
Wow.
And she kept just playing the music over and over. And I just thought, well, if that isn't a sign of the power of, first of all, belief and music and allowing yourself to be still and really ingest the energy that's being created by music and mine in particular at that moment is so important. And a couple people had asked me before we were doing this podcast, Louis, if we were going to talk about recommendations on how to deal with anxiety and fear during this time, using what we both create. And my suggestion would be, don't be afraid to be still and allow yourself to experience what we create, because it will change you. It will change your mood. It will change how you're feeling physically, and it will uplift you. I can say that 100% sure, being 100% sure, it will change you. And I think, I mean, in this world that we're constantly being barraged by, you know, you can't go to a website without 50 pop-up ads coming in, and it makes me want to take a hammer to the computer and break it. Honestly, namaste. But but I think then we have to be proactive. Mm-hmm. We have to be proactive and allot time for our own self-care and our own healing. And music and nature visuals have to be a part of that. And your life will change. I swear.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Louis, but...
No, I agree. If anything, I ask myself, I should be practicing what I preach.
Well, it's hard. We're constantly told not to, and that it'll be better if you eat a pint of ice cream. You'll feel better. No, you won't.
No, I mean, look, I hate to exercise, and recently my body's been really stiff and all that, and I'm putting on Moving Art as I exercise.
Good, because perfect.
I'm not in the gym doing this driving tempo, but I'm allowing my mind to go on the journey, and I'm letting go and disassociating with, you know, my muscles feeling tired, you know, and before I know it, it's great, man. I just had this beautiful, relaxing experience. Mm-hmm. And so I've discovered a new way of using it. It doesn't have to be necessarily for meditation. It can also be.
I mean, that's where people classically go. It's like, oh, I need music to meditate too. But guess what? You can use music to exercise, to heal, to be inspired to paint, to write, visuals, same, anything.
Yeah.
And I just noticed we have another question.
Yeah, a great question. Christine Jacoby says, do you write the music for an edited film or is it a back and forth process?
Usually when I score for a film, I get what's called a locked version of the film. But very often times, as we all know, art is a process. The director will want to change something. So in the middle of the process, we'll insert a scene that's slightly shorter than it was, and I make adjustments musically. But yes, almost always I'm writing to a locked picture so that I have a sense of what the director had in mind as a visual journey. For example, when Louis and I worked together, I worked with a locked picture. I think there was one addition at the end, Louis, mm-hmm. when we worked together, because we hadn't gotten to quite what the end was going to be. And then we both went back and forth about what, will this work? Will that, should it be this length or shorter? So there was a bit of back and forth there.
Yeah. I love the back and forth. I mean, yes. I agree. I mean, well, to make your life simpler and not crazy, I do have to give you a locked picture.
Right.
That means a finished edit. Right. But then once I get it, you know, we tweak it. You know, might only be like one or two frames where, you know, I can, you know, shorten my shot. It doesn't matter if I lose a fraction of a second. So maybe if it hits a beat or helps the transition. Right. So I definitely fine tune it once we get the score back to really do the final polish.
Yes.
And it's like really, you know, it's like the final polish in anything is like that little 5% of effort is
100%. Oh my gosh, it makes such a difference.
Big difference, you know? And I've got flexibility as a, you know, that I think musicians don't. Like, you know, if my shot is like 2.5 seconds or 2.25, it doesn't really matter. But in music, it does matter, you know? That phrase needs to be has a rhythm and a cadence. You can't just randomly chop a fraction of a second out of a piece of music. And I can take a fraction of a second out of a shot, and it doesn't really, you know, affect anything in a very negative way at all. So I love to definitely fine tune it.
Yeah.
But I think what I love working with you so much is that basically what we do is we just talk about our feelings. We talk about our emotion. Like, what do we want to feel when we're in that valley or on that mountaintop or inside that, you know, Machu Picchu or on the beach? It's it's about emotion.
Right.
And you translate those feelings into music.
Yes. And the interesting thing about that, about working as composer and director, is that it's so important for the composer to know what the director was intending or seeing at any given moment, because what I might be seeing may differ from what you were thinking about while you were filming that. And I remember we had one moment in the Machu Picchu film where I was seeing something as like a celebration, a journey coming to a destination. And you said, oh, well, wait a minute, that's not exactly what's happening here. And then I looked at it and I thought, ah, I see, we're not there yet. So musically, that changed tremendously what my approach to that scene was. So I just love that. The creative
Just beyond the specifics of what we do, this whole idea of having a symbiotic relationship is nature's operating instructions.
Right.
You know, that's what makes the world go around. That's how we work. Nothing lives alone in nature. So whether, you know, we're building a shed or we're creating a, you know, a piece of film, collaborating with others is really a joy.
Yes.
A true joy, because you can't do it all by yourself, you know?
No, you can't, and you're not meant to. I mean, we're affected by everything and each other in the world, as is nature, is affected by everything around it tremendously. So it's so important to remember that.
I wanted to mention also the Fair Sky CD you did, which is, you know, performed in Armenian.
Yes.
Because as you mentioned earlier, that your mother is Armenian.
Right.
And I can really relate to perhaps, you know, the intention of that in terms of the fact that you used Armenian language. Is what's the language called?
Armenian.
Armenian, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a unique language. It's probably yes. They only speak it in Armenia, right?
Yes.
And, but I think it was to, you know, maybe honor and address the suffering that, you know, this group of people have gone through. My parents were Holocaust survivors. I can totally relate to that.
Yes.
Can you share what your thoughts and intentions were in doing that?
I did want to honor the language, the culture, the experience of the people. And I grew up hearing horrific stories about my grandmother and her experience, my grandfather and his experience, and, you know, leaving their parents dying in the desert while they were being forced to, you know, it's just hideous watching. I won't even say it, but they had such a huge impact on me that I wanted to somehow honor that part of my life and my culture and also bring light to it. Because I think, I don't know the right way to say this, but I think it's so important when we experience such deep suffering to point the camera, if you will, at the joy and the resilience of the people and the culture and the experience of who they are as human beings. So that's what I was trying to do with one piece in particular called The Light that's on Fair Sky. And it's just, it's all about walking towards a light.
Yeah.
You know? So I took that painstaking and painful journey that we all know about through history and sort of tilted it on its side, if you will. And made it about walking into a new place, into a light, into a new beginning, away from the pain and suffering.
So, well, it sounds like that probably inspired you to create this foundation I heard about, where you give these small grants to women and girls in financial need who want to lift their own lives and the lives of those around them.
Yes.
So
it's called the Forgotten Dream Project, and it's something I've just been doing very quietly for the past 5 or 6 years, giving about 4 or 5 grants a year. And yeah, if people are interested, they can, to find out more, they can visit me at my website, lisbethscottmusic.com.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess in Buddhism, they say that, you know, suffering, you know, is a gift that opens your heart.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And
it looks like you're, you know, paying this forward in a sense by helping others, you know?
Yeah. I think it's such an important thing for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, wow, Elizabeth, I think we're close to the end of our little, you know, conversation. It was so beautiful to hear you play live.
Thank you, Louis.
And I hope it reverberates throughout the universe.
I do too.
I think it'll bounce off of Mars and come back. And we'll have a bunch of, like, next time we'll have comments from Martians. It healed them, you know, which I think would be really great because I had no intention.
They're probably already in the audience, Louis.
They're everywhere. Either the universe is a loving universe or it's not. And I think it's loving. So there must be loving aliens all over the place. So I want to thank you for sharing your music, your spirit, your voice with us.
My pleasure.
It's so cool to be hanging with you.
Yeah.
And thank you. I also want to be able to thank our sponsor, the Fetzer Institute, for sponsoring our podcast, helping to build a spiritual foundation for a loving world. Also want to thank our producer, Sean, and Leland and Annie, Courtney and Sarah from Moving Art, and Bethany, Ron and Deanna from Magical Threads. To be continued and more to come.
Yes, thank you, Louis, for your work.